Hey guys, before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. Of course, you know, you've heard me talk about Harry's razors before, guys. I've been a Harry's guy for a long time. And there's no better way to support the show than to go to harrys.com/lineup, sign up right now for their free trial. You're going to get a razor, you're going to get cartridges, you're going to get shave gel, you're going to get the travel case, and all you have to do is pay shipping. They know you're going to love it. They know you're going to be like, gosh, this is such a solution for my shaving needs, that all you get to do is pay shipping. Sign up with them now. Of course, it's harrys.com/lineup so that they know that I sent you. Great way to support the show. Great product. Couldn't recommend it enough. Let's get into today's main slate. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are staring down the barrel of a five-game slate here on a Tuesday. A nice size for a Tuesday, in a couple really, really juicy games. I'm going to go game by game for you guys in this one, walk you through Vegas, walk you through injuries, walk you through what you need to know about each game, and of course, some of my favorite players from each spot that you may want to build your lineups around. Last night was rough. Was rough. If you didn't have enough Timberwolves in your lineup or Boogie Cousins, you were pretty much out of it. And I loved the Jazz last night, and the Jazz were a brutal and terrible letdown, scoring like 80 points against one of the worst defenses in the NBA. I'm not really sure how that happened or why that happened, but here we are. Fresh day. New start. Tuesday. Five-game slate, and some good ones. So we're going to jump straight back into it for today, the 23rd. I'm going to go from lowest total to highest total, okay, on up the scale here. We'll talk through all the games. We'll get you guys set for Tuesday night slate. So let's take a look at tonight. All right, first game of the night. Well, not the first game of the night, but the lowest total of the night actually belongs to the Cavs and the Spurs. 208 total here, okay? And San Antonio favored by 1.5. And that's interesting, right? I mean, you know, you get the reports out of Cleveland that they had this fiery team meeting. Apparently, everybody threw Kevin Love under the bus, which... Reddit has reacted poorly to. If the popular vote from Reddit says Cavs, you are out of line, then Cavs, you're out of line. You're out of line. Which is kind of true. I mean, give me a fucking break. You're going to throw Kevin Love under the bus? Listen, if Kevin Love doesn't want to be there, I don't blame him, kind of. You know, like, we have seen that one of the little things about LeBron's legacy, to be completely honest, one of the things about LeBron's legacy is going to be that he's kind of fucking irritating and that it's hard to play with him sometimes. And you know what? Kevin Love, he won his title. He's getting a little bit old. Maybe he wants to be back in a less traumatic environment with some young guys. I'm not sure. I don't know. But who knows? He could be moved. Be pretty fun, right? Move him for DeAndre. Send him to L.A. I don't know. God, the Clippers interior defense would be really bad then. All right, sorry. Let's talk about the actual matchup here. Cleveland versus San Antonio. You literally have one of the worst defenses in the league versus one of the best defenses in the league. The San Antonio Spurs, however, are very shorthanded in this one. Okay, so a lot to consider in the Spurs side of things. Let's talk through those injuries for the Spurs. Obviously, Kawhi, right? The quad injury. We get the cryptic report out of ESPN about how they're not doing well, whatever the case may be. I don't know. I thought that was bullshit. Like, there was no evidence whatsoever. They just said that they were distant. He's pissed off about not being able to play. He doesn't know if he's ready. He can't get right. Of course he's pissed off. Like, what? This is overreaction theater. This is the same as the Tom Brady has a creepy trainer. Tom Brady is a fucking maniac. Of course he has a creepy trainer. How is this news? It's like reporting like some of these football players aren't good guys. Yeah, some of them aren't good guys. They're maniacs. I've never understood this logic. Like, they're supposed to be role models. No, they're not. They're supposed to be football players. Anyway, Kawhi, Tony Parker, possibly questionable here. Paul Gasol ruled out. Rudy Gay ruled out. Manu Ginobili ruled out, I believe. Yeah, so there's a lot going on with the Spurs. Okay, so the biggest bumps are obviously going to go to LaMarcus. He's going to lead this team in fantasy points per minute. He's going to lead this team in usage, everything. Right behind him, however, is Deontay Murray. Deontay Murray has been playing really, really well and seems to be trending into the starting role, okay, which should be good. Now, if Patty Mills is going to be the only backup point guard, I don't mind him either because he's been playing a little bit at the two as well. But my guess is that we are going to concentrate our efforts here on Deontay Murray, okay, and LaMarcus Aldridge, with a little bit of Kyle Anderson as well. Now, Kyle Anderson had a huge bounce back after the massive letdown in Brooklyn. 22 minutes, he went 0 for 2. He goes up and he puts up 35 fantasy points on just 5 shots in Toronto. Doing his Kawhi impression, hyper efficient, 4 for 6 from the field in the Indiana game as well. 45 fantasy points in 34 minutes on 6 shots. This kid has created a serious, serious floor as far as his rebounds, his assists, and his defense. And you know what? Listen, if this is his best Kawhi impression, he's doing a pretty good job, and the kid deserves some credit. Now, those two performances, outliers, right? Why? Well, he had 5 steals and 3 blocks in the Indiana game. That's not going to sustain, okay? That's like, what, 20 points worth of turn, you know, defensive statistics. But he is good for a couple. I mean, he's good for two steals and a block on average in the last 5 games. On the season, he's averaged 1-1. So it's not unreasonable to suspect more than 6 points of defensive statistics from Kyle Anderson in this situation. It is unreasonable to suspect him to score a lot, though, which is difficult for this kid. I mean, you know, he's averaged 8 points on the season. He's not really a scorer. He really wants to do it on the defensive end. He wants to do it in transition, get rebounds, get his, you know, create defensive opportunities. And if he does that, he's going to average over a fantasy point per minute, probably getting over 30 minutes in this game. But Jonathan Simmons isn't a slouch, you know. He is a Popovich-trained wing, so you worry about the scoring. I think Deontay Murray and LaMarcus are obviously in play. Now, let's talk about the third guy that I think you have to look at, and that's Davis Bertans. Davis Bertans, the ginger version of the ginger Western Conference Kristaps, is at minimum going to get 20 minutes because there's no Paul Gasol. Now, this guy is going to be more of a 4 than a 5, but he can play the 5. Okay, you know, you're going to see some Joffrey LaVerne, but please, let's not do Joffrey LaVerne. Okay, let's not do that. the man has been inconsistent, but in situations, you know, and he was a letdown in that Brooklyn game too. But in most situations in which Bertans is going to give you 20 minutes, he's going to give you a fantasy point per minute. Just about, okay? Just about. He has a decent enough sample size for us to suggest that he can score 20 or more fantasy points in the stretch if he gets over 20 minutes. All right. And against Orlando, a poor rebounding team, a poor defensive team overall, they have the advantage here. I think you have to consider Bertans as an interesting option at just 3,600 and 37 on DK. I mean, why not? Right? Plug and play at the power forward position, small slate. You can get up to some more studs in this situation. And I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I think Bertans is very, very, not Orlando. What am I thinking of? I said Cleveland, bad defense in general. So I can go to Bertans in this situation. Now, on the Cleveland side of things, you know, they're road dogs against a very, very good defense, a very, very slow team. And they are implied well below their season average for scoring. They're implied 6 points below their season average for scoring, which is a concern. Does it feel like this is a spot where they could get a... I mean, if they can't win this game, you really got to be... I mean, you're talking about... This is a team in the Spurs that has lost back-to-back games to the Pacers and the Raptors. If you lose this game, they're really on the ropes, and they need to make some changes here. But it is not exactly a team that has been playing phenomenally well, but I do expect them to get the win. I'm not interested in expending too much on these guys, however. Low total, hyper slow pace, and when we're looking at San Antonio in this situation, you have to be aware that they are literally 1-2 in efficiency allowed to the front court into the back court. So could LeBron get it done? Yes, of course. But will the peripheral guys get it done? I'm not as sure that they will. And they're also taking, you know, a pretty serious pace drop. They have a, you know, they're losing two and a half possessions this game. So I just don't see it. I just don't see any reason to have too much Cleveland in your lineup. If you want Bron, I think he's your guy, and that's about it for me. And I'm going to probably concentrate my efforts on the San Antonio side here in this situation. But I also could see this game potentially being a LeBron takes over in the first half. San Antonio can't hit the broadside of a barn. No one knows how to score, and it's not really a game. There's a very distinct path to that, because remember, you don't have Paul Gasol, you don't have Tony Parker, you don't have all these veterans in San Antonio, you don't have Kawhi, you don't have a lot of the core of San Antonio that can get them through this tough game. You're going to be starting Deontay Murray, Danny Green, Kyle Anderson, you know, LaMarcus and Joffrey LaVerne, maybe. It's not really a championship team. But I do like a lot of these pieces on the Spurs from a fantasy perspective. It's disappointing too, because that game should be really good. Moving on to LA. Okay, 208 total, similar here. 208 total, Boston versus the Lakers. Boston favored by 4 on the road. And no injuries to be concerned about here for the Celtics. Nothing that we're really that worried about. So we're going to get, you know, we're going to get a basic, you know, we're going to get our Celtics, full roster, and the way that they've been playing lately, you know, not terrible. Certainly not anything to be concerned about from the Celtics in this situation. Kyrie, you know, but I don't think we can expect the same quality of performances that we saw against Orlando and New Orleans. Now, Orlando and New Orleans, bottom five in defensive overall defensive rating. I know the Lakers, even though their offense has struggled recently, they're actually still top 10 in defensive rating, which is really, really impressive for this young team. So if I'm going anywhere on the Celtics side of things, I am likely going to try to attack. I think I'm going to try to attack the front court here. I think I'm going to try to attack the front court. They're 22nd in efficiency allowed to front courts, opposing front courts. Do you go to Al Horford, who has cooled off a little bit here? I don't mind it. I don't mind his price. Center is a little bit thin. I think a lot of people will probably look towards, you know, Steven Adams, because he's got Brooklyn and that kind of thing. But I think Horford is interesting. I think he goes a little bit under-owned. He's reasonably priced, given the fact that he's been about a fantasy point per minute. So long as he gets the minutes, I think he could be an interesting option. I definitely would feel comfortable having Horford in my lineup at the end of the night. Now, as far as the rest of the Celtics go, I don't mind Kyrie. I don't mind him at all. I think he's perfectly fine. I think you're going to have other point guards that you want in your lineups, but I think he's an interesting pivot. I think he's a useful pivot. I just don't necessarily know that he's a decent value at 8,500. But you're looking at Russ against Brooklyn. You're looking at Deontay against Cleveland. You know, you're looking at Steph at a very reasonable price against the Knicks at home with a high total, you know, the highest total of the night. Where does Kyrie fit in this scheme? I think it's just that Kyrie is a pivot, and that's how I would treat him. That's kind of all I could say for tournament purposes. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you know, I don't know. I could talk myself into some Jaylen Brown at 5,500. I don't mind the price. You know, he's been decent, but we haven't seen a ceiling from him lately. So if he falls to you and you need a guy in the mid-range, that's fine. But I'm not going to go chase him. Now, on the Lakers side of things, there's a lot to chase. There's a lot to be interested in. The difficulty is this is a terrible matchup. This is a really bad matchup. Boston's defense is just really, really good across the board. They're number one in, you know, efficiency allowed to backcourts. They're number two in efficiency allowed to the frontcourt. I mean, this is the same as they're basically San Antonio in reverse. 1 and 2 in each of those. And overall defensive efficiency, only allowing 99 points per game. That is really very, very, very good. So not a lot to love for the matchup with the Lakers. And the Lakers, however, have a lot of injuries on their side. So there is potential value in chasing some of these Lakers here. You're going to want to get after some of this Laker value. Kyle Kuzma, however, upgraded to probable. Lonzo is going to be out, which is the big one. The one that we have to wait on, Kuzma and Ingram, probable. The one we have to wait on is KCP. And with Lonzo and KCP out, the backcourt sort of becomes a mess for the Lakers. So here's the Reader's Digest version, right? Lonzo's been out for a while. Tyler Ennis has started. Jordan Clarkson has started. All of these guys have started. Josh Hart has started. But the only people who have ever gotten more than 30 minutes, Josh Hart, it happened twice. Okay. Josh Hart happened twice in 5 games. Alex Caruso has gotten 30 minutes. And Jordan Clarkson has gotten 30 minutes twice. Tyler Ennis has not. It's very, very difficult to project who's going to stay on the court with Walton. He rides the hot hand. He gives guys opportunities when they're playing well. He lets them take advantage of matchups that they're comfortable with. You know, it's really, really hard to understand consistently who he's going to give the minutes to. Now, except for veterans, you know, guys like Brook Lopez have very clear roles. Larry Nance has a very clear role. It's the younger guys that he struggles to, you know, give you consistent run on. If you get Alex Caruso, 30 minutes of Alex Caruso, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, you almost have to take it. At 4,200, he's a shooting guard. If you know, you think he's going to get 32 minutes, he was very good. He was actually playing the point guard position. But at the same time, you know, Jordan Clarkson has returned some massive games. The issue is now his price is way up, and it's very reasonable to expect that maybe he doesn't get the full 30 minutes that he's been getting, or that this defense actually slows him down. So as much as we want to chase some of this Laker value in the backcourt, I don't think I'm doing it in the backcourt. What I do think I'm possibly doing it is in the frontcourt. I continue to like some of these guys in the frontcourt, Larry Nance, Kyle Kuzma, and even Julius Randle to a degree, you know, but I think I need KCP off the court in order for these things to work. And I don't know how many Lakers I want against a very good defensive team in a low total, because we have 3 more games that have higher totals. And so let's move over to those as we look at the third highest total of the night, which is in Orlando, a 213 total. And that tells you something. When the third highest total is a 213, that's a good night for fantasy, right? And this is Sacramento and at Orlando. Now, this may not be the real-life basketball game that Boston and LA or Cleveland, San Antonio may be. However, this is juicy, juicy for fantasy. Orlando is favored by 6 at home. And listen, Sacramento got trounced in 3 quarters last night and then came back against Charlotte. They pushed them. I mean, they only ended up losing by single digits. And they were down by double digits for the majority of the game. And then, you know, they kind of pushed them around and got back into it. So, you know, Sacramento, not a bad young, feisty team. Neither one of these teams has much to play for, but decent scoring teams. They're implied for 103, Sacramento. Orlando implied for 110. That's the third highest total on the slate against Sacramento. Because, listen, these are two terrible defenses. These are two terrible defenses. And you can attack the Orlando backcourt, and you can attack the Sacramento front court. And so that is exactly what we're going to do. And if we start on the Sacramento side of things, they are coming off the back-to-back. So let's expect some rest for some of these veterans. I know it's been hard to project what exactly is going to happen with this quote-unquote veteran rest program, because they really haven't actually kept a pattern of anything. You know, George Hill played last night. Garrett Temple did not play last night. Which seems like Garrett Temple will play tonight. Vince Carter did play last night, so maybe he'll sit tonight. And then in the front court, Zach Randolph did not play last night, but Costa Kufos did. So my guess, Randolph plays, Temple plays, and two of those guys, like a Carter and a Kufos, sit. That would be my guess. And I thought George Hill might sit. He's been involved in some trade talk conversations, so who knows? They've been sitting him out. He might sit as well. But I think on the Sacramento side of things, if we want to attack the backcourt, I can feel comfortable with De'Aaron Fox getting 30 minutes here. I feel comfortable with him against Elfrid Payton. I think he's a fun option at point guard. And then I also want to possibly get some Bogdan Bogdanovic or Buddy Hield into my lineups. And reasonably priced, both of them in this situation. I think that if you ask me to pick between the two at shooting guard, I'm probably going Bogdan. I got to be honest with you. I think Bogdan is just I think he has a better floor. At 6,600, though, I could see why you're saying, you know what, Sean, I don't really know if that's a price tag that I want to pay for a Sacramento player. The thing I will say is it's Orlando, and they are literally dead last in backcourt efficiency allowed. So Bogdan could certainly get it going here against this team. And if he's going to get 30 minutes, you feel comfortable with him and his floor of about 20 points. And listen, in the last five, that's exactly where he has been. He has had this floor of 20 fantasy points, 26 fantasy points on average in the last five games. It's over 30 minutes, 15-3-3 with a steal. He's not going to light the world on fire, but he is solid. And against some bad defenses, we've seen some decent performances from him. So you could get a decent return from him. But I could also see Buddy Hield being an interesting option, no doubt about it. I mean, he's a shooter. At 5,700, you're getting a scoring-dependent GPP type guy who, you know, the ceiling is maybe 35. So I don't know how excited you are about that. I don't know if you could hear it in my voice. I think it's De'Aaron Fox. I think it's Bogdan Bogdanovic for me. And then in the front court, I don't mind Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, you know, he's been good. I don't know how else to say it. Like, from a fantasy perspective, he's been good. There's nothing else to say except that. Effective. Last night shot very poorly, but put up 20 shots in 37 minutes. That's great. Scalabissier put up 15 shots, shot much better across 30 minutes, scored 31 fantasy points and kind of pushed them back into it in that fourth quarter. But I think Scal could get his minutes bumped by Randolph if Randolph plays tonight. So let's keep an eye on the Sacramento side of things. I think, yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein, though, in this situation, he's shown a floor of about 30 points. So if you don't want to go to Horford, they're very similar price points. He's 72, Horford 71. I think that Willie Cauley-Stein could be an interesting option for you. Now, on the Orlando side of things, we want to attack the front court here, no doubt about it. So Aaron Gordon, instantly becomes a solid option for us. Instantly becomes a solid option. I don't know what he did to get benched in that game the other night, but He seemed to work himself back out of it and had a really, really nice bounce back, but he's back all the way up to 8,500. Now, against Sacramento, that actually might be a price that you want to pay. 30th in overall front court efficiency. We've seen how bad they are to the center. They yielded 50 fantasy points to Dwight last night. He absolutely smashed. They've been terrible, terrible, terrible rebounding team. And Aaron Gordon and, you know, Orlando are terrible rebounders. Like, he's not a very good rebounder. If you want the rebounding, you go to Bismack. But Bismack at 6,600, do you want to pay 6,600 for a guy who might score 10 points and has, you know, below 15% usage? The reason you're paying for Aaron Gordon at 8,500 is primarily because of how many fucking shots he wants to take. I mean, the man has taken over 15 shots in each of the last five games, going above 20 shots in the Cleveland game. So you don't have a great pace situation here, but you do have a situation where this guy wants to score. He's going to take a ton of shots. He does have the potential for double-digit rebounds against a bad interior defense. I think Aaron Gordon is going to probably find a lot of people's lineups tonight. And, it makes good sense. I mean, from a point per dollar perspective, it's not my favorite, but I think that there is a ceiling to Aaron Gordon that's unique. That is unique to me. As far as backcourt players in the Orlando, you know, on the Orlando side of things, I don't know. Could I get into Elfrid Payton? I can always get into Elfrid Payton, but he can also get himself taken out of a game. You know, he can get himself taken out of a game very quickly. So I think Evan Fournier is a little bit more consistent in that sense. And John Simmons, too. I mean, very, very consistent minutes for John Simmons. And we finally saw him bounce back in that Cleveland game. As I projected, I was like, you know what, this is the spot where he comes back to life. So John Simmons could be another piece that you find in your lineups tonight against a bad Sacramento team. And this game could definitely hit the over. So it's one that you do want to pay attention to, maybe get a little bit of exposure to some bad defenses here. Brooklyn at OKC, 214 total in this one. And the Thunder are favored by 10 at home, implied for 112 points, which is the second highest total on the slate. Good for them. Good for them. Thunder, you know, playing pretty well lately. Not bad. You know, destroyed the Cavaliers. Absolutely destroyed the Cavaliers, destroyed the Lakers, as they should. Got the win against Sacramento, even though it looked hairy for a couple minutes. So a nice little four-game run for them. This is kind of how they do things. They go on these little runs. If you remember, they did a nice little run right before Christmas. So this should be another solid win for them against Brooklyn. Brooklyn is fine. I mean, they lost to Brooklyn earlier in the year because Brooklyn is a halfway decent team. Like, this is not the wildly inconsistent Brooklyn of last year. What you do have in Brooklyn, however, is a average defense. They are 16th in overall defensive efficiency, but they run a much faster pace than average. They are fifth in pace. So you have a team that's going to play halfway decent defense, but run a lot, which is a great recipe for fantasy success, because you're going to hopefully keep all the guys in the game that you want. And obviously everything starts with Russ in this situation. We want to attack Brooklyn. We want to attack Brooklyn in the backcourt. They're in 26th in efficiency allowed to opposing backcourts. You know, and if you're not playing Russell Westbrook in cash against the Brooklyn Nets, I think you're probably trying to be too cute, right? There it is. I said it. I think you're being too cute. Is there a possibility for a blowout here? Yes. But the floor for Russ in a blowout recently has been 45 points. Okay. Is that what you want? No, it's 4X. It's 4X, but the likelihood that they don't play the fourth quarter, I think they could definitely play the fourth quarter. The Nets have been pretty good here. So I definitely am interested in Russ in this situation. And I could see myself going to Paul George. And the reason that I'm also interested in Paul George is because of the usage in the last five games. And he has been taking more shots, and when he hits them, he's scoring a lot of points. The usage has been up. Okay. And in 28% usage rate in that Cleveland game, he's been above 20 in each one of these games. He hasn't had any, you know, poor performances as far as just raw usage and attempts. He's taken quite a few shots. I think I could see some Paul George in my lineups. We weren't seeing, you know, we've seen him take some steps backwards in a couple points in this season where you just are kind of like, what's his role on this team? But at 8K flat, that's a very, very reasonable price against the Brooklyn Nets, who struggled with the small forward position. Carmelo is tougher. He's been fine, but he has a much more clear floor, and his price is not nearly as reasonable. At 7,200 on FanDuel, I'm not that interested in Carmelo Anthony. I just don't see a path to him getting... I don't see him getting over 35 fantasy points that often, but I do like the matchup, and I think he's an interesting way to be different, but I don't think I'm going to rush out to start him. Steven Adams, very reasonably priced for the floor, for the minutes, 32 minutes, 30 fantasy points per game. Of course, we know he's about a fantasy point per minute. He's got a great matchup in the front court. He should be able to be very dominant here. You know, Brooklyn has struggled to rebound. They're going to allow above average rebounds because there's above average number of possessions here. Steven Adams, yes. Yes, you can feel very comfortable getting Steven Adams and Russ in your lineup here. So go ahead, go for the go full tilt on the Thunder, see what you can get into your lineup. Now, as far as Brooklyn goes, you know, we've been watching them because there is some fantasy value to be had here. Spencer Dinwiddie, even with the return of D'Angelo Russell, he returned from a very minor role coming off the bench. Dinwiddie's role doesn't seem to necessarily be too affected. He's been getting 30 minutes just as normal, shooting better in the last two games, but not nearly as many assists. It seems like it's probably going to affect Alan Crabb the most and Caris LeVert the most, but I wasn't really ever that interested. Joe Harris will also take a little bit of a hit. At the three, you're going to expect a lot of Damari Carroll, who's shown a very clear floor. You know, a very clear floor of about 20, 25 fantasy points. So Damari Carroll, not the worst option in the world here for sure. I think you could absolutely look at him at 6,200. We know he has a floor. He has 30 minutes. If he gets a fantasy point per minute, you're fine. And he's good. He's good enough to exceed that. You're not going to kill yourself with the $6,200 Damari Carroll. RHJ is the one that's interesting to me. He's shown the high ceiling on this team. But, you know, this is a good defensive team in Oklahoma City. And we have seen a pretty rough floor from Hollis Jefferson in certain situations, but he has a ceiling and he is unique in that, in the Nets, that he actually has a 40, 50 point ceiling. I don't know that I'm going to go to Dinwiddie in this spot. I think some people might find him appealing, but the backcourt defense and overall defensive efficiency of Oklahoma City scares me a little bit. And I think his shooting is inconsistent enough that I think it's okay to say, and point guard's very deep. I think it's okay to say, I'm going to go to Russ in this game, and I'm going to go to one of the other more kind of quote-unquote sure things. And one of those sure things is going to come from the highest total game of the night, which is in New York, in Golden State. In Golden State, we have the Knicks at the Warriors. 227 total here. Warriors are favored by 14 at home. Yikes. And they're full strength. Now, the Knicks in this situation, are they going to get blown out? Should they get blown out? Yeah, I mean, they haven't been playing particularly well on the road of late. You know, they're not a bad team. They've been playing people tough, but they've not been playing particularly well. Kind of a mixed bag, you know. Some good wins, like the Jazz win was really good. I'm not sure how they pulled that out, but then, you know, losses to like Chicago and New Orleans, and then they lost by 20 to the Lakers, which just, that's unacceptable. So it's very reasonable to expect the New York Knicks letdown, but they have had 2 days of rest. This is a big game. Teams play really, really well against Golden State in this situation. They just show up because they know this is the champ, and they bring their A game. They don't want to get embarrassed because this team can embarrass you. Nothing on the injuries report for either team. So we should expect full strength Warriors, full strength Knicks in this situation. And for me, on the Warriors side of things, I'm really intrigued by Steph. It's a 40-point outcome. Okay, it's a 40-point outcome, but at 9-6, you really only need him to go for 48. And I think that that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable so long as New York can stay in this game. It's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. You have a pretty bad defensive backcourt. He should be able to get what he wants, whereas the reverse, the frontcourt for New York, has been reasonably good this year. You know, they are fourth in overall front court efficiency and 11th in front court efficiency allowed. So they're actually better in their defensive front court than Golden State, whereas they are, you know, pretty bad in the backcourt, pretty bad in the backcourt and have been all year long. So I think that we can attack Steph. I think we can probably attack Clay comfortably. I think he has a floor here that I feel pretty comfortable with. And of course, KD. I mean, those three are where I'm going. I don't necessarily know that I need Draymond in my lineup tonight. You know, this, I think there are certain situations when I look for Draymond, and this is not necessarily one of them. But I do love Kevin Durant at 10-5. He and Steph both have 40-point floors in this situation, and you don't have to have someone missing in order to like them. So, I if I can fit Steph in, I'll fit him in. If I can fit Russ and Steph in there, I like it. I think it's interesting. They have the highest total. They're at home as opposed to LeBron. Both of those guys are at home with super high totals. LeBron's on the road with one of the lower totals of the night. There it is. You know, that's why you go to him. The one thing I will say is his small forward is also a little bit deeper than it normally is. So if I can fit those guys in there, I'm perfectly okay with trying to fit in some Warriors into my lineup. Now, as far as value goes on the Warriors, we're seeing Andre Iguodala and possibly Jordan Bell out. The only guy that I think that possibly creates any sort of interest in is possibly Zaza, but I don't want to deal with Zaza. And Kevon Looney, and I don't really trust Kevon Looney. He's taken 1 and 2 shots in his last two games. He's kind of just defense and rebounding, and he's not even that good at rebounding. So not a ton of interest for me there. On the Knicks side, though, I do have a lot of interest in this team. And, you know, we have seen high concentrations of minutes for important guys. Courtney Lee, over 30 minutes. Chris Stapps, well over 30 minutes. THJ near 30 minutes. All of these guys, I think, could be in play here. Cantor nearly 30 minutes. All of these guys could be in play in this situation. I think you could find some Knicks in your lineups, and part of the reason that you want to find some Knicks in your lineups is because of the high total, the pace, and there's a lot there's just a lot to like. Michael Beasley at 4,800, I think, is one of the most ideal tournament plays that you could find. He's the kind of guy that if they get 30 minutes from him, he can score. He could go, you know, 7X on that salary. And he's unique in that. THJ at 5,500. If he's going to play 30 minutes in this building, you know he's going to actually take some shots. He's got a 24% usage rate on the season. I think he's really solid. If you want to get a value center, I think Enes Kanter is very interesting at 5,800. So they just kind of have these nice price points for 30 minutes. You know, and Courtney Lee at 4,900, he's going to get 30 minutes too. Now he doesn't exactly have the ceiling that Beasley has, but he has a guaranteed 30 minutes in this situation. As far as Kristaps goes, he actually might be the Nick that I avoid. And the reason is Draymond. You know, the individual matchup with Draymond Green is not good. Now he has the size advantage. He has the reach. He has the length there. But I don't necessarily love Draymond. And when KP gets taken out of the game, big tree fall hard. Okay, we saw it in the, you know, we saw it in like the Utah and the Laker game. You know, he decides that he doesn't really want to shoot, and you're only going to get 30 fantasy points from him. I don't want that. You know, and if he defers and the usage now is going to be okay over with Hardaway, I would rather have somebody who's much cheaper, and they're both, they're all about, you know, 2/3 the price of KP, who's 8,700. So I want exposure to this game, high total. I want a mixture. I want a little bit of Knicks. I want a little bit of Warriors. I think it's smart to have them at the end. I think this could be a very high scoring game. And if the Knicks keep in it, it's going to be a really high scoring game, which I like. All right. So let's go ahead over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a lineup. So here's one way that we can do this. And then there's a couple other pivots around here. It obviously, you know, it starts with Russ for me. I think Russ is really, really interesting in this situation. That interesting. I mean, this is Russ versus Brooklyn at home, you know, high total, second highest total on the slate. Worry about a little bit of worried about blowout, but I'll take it. You know, and then you want to counter him with Deontay Murray at 4,800, possibly 30 minutes against a bad Cleveland defense. Yeah, you got to have that point per dollar value in cash games. I think it makes sense. And then for me, one of the most obvious values is Davis Bertans at power forward. I'm going to get him in as one, you know, kind of my one punt play. And then you look at the small forward position and you think, okay, you know, there's LeBron, there's KD. Sure. All right. I don't know how much I like LeBron. You know, the role has been very different with Isaiah Thomas out there in the last two games. You have a slow, low total. I like Paul George. I like Paul George, but I also really like Kyle Anderson. I think Kyle Anderson is reasonably priced for 30 minutes against Cleveland, bad defense. And I don't mind Jonathan Simmons. Same thing. I mean, he's at home. He's got 30 minutes. He's 5,300. He's just kind of like a, you know, it's just a point per dollar situation where you feel comfortable saying Jonathan Simmons can put up, you know, decent amount of points on Sacramento. I don't mind Jaylen Brown either for that reason. You know, I think he's very similar to Jonathan Simmons and potentially more consistent. So either one of those guys makes sense to me. You know, and so I put them in there. Shooting guard, I love Tim Hardaway Jr. for the price. I just think he's very reasonably priced. I think it's a big game. He's going to show up. He can show up in big games. He's clearly healthy. This is the kind of game where he could score 30. And I like having him at the end of the night. And I think he's reasonably, you know, like I said, reasonably priced. I said that four times. Sorry. And so you kind of, you end up with this a little bit of more salary than you initially thought you had. And I can foot in LaMarcus Aldridge then. And you guys know my rule. If LaMarcus Aldridge is below 10K, I'm going to think about him. And I think this game against Cleveland is a great situation to attack LaMarcus here. No doubt about it. He's put the team on his back recently, and this is a terrible defense. So yes, I have Davis Bertans, Kyle Anderson, and Deontay Murray in my lineup. But I think that there's enough value in San Antonio right now that those guys can all return. And if I wanted to pivot off of someone, it's probably Kyle Anderson, just because he's the most expensive and the least consistent. That would be why I pivot off of him. And at center, I go to Enes Kanter, and primarily because I think he is underpriced compared to his counterparts. He's going to get 30 minutes in this game. And I look up the line here at other guys who are going to get 30 minutes in this situation, and I see Kevin Love, 30 minutes, Al Horford, 30 minutes, Willie Cauley-Stein, 30. You know, all of these guys are 28 to 30 minutes, but Kanter, and they have a floor of 30 points, and obviously Kanter doesn't quite have the ceiling. But I think in a fast-paced game against Golden State, where they have actually yielded to the paint, quite a bit. I mean, we saw what Clint Capella did against them. If you have an athletic center who can stay on the court like Kanter in this situation, I think he's very interesting to me. So this one right now, Deontay Murray, Russell Westbrook, Tim Hardaway Jr. By the way, I had Klay Thompson money left in there. That's interesting. Klay, Jaylen Brown, Kyle Anderson, Davis Bertans, LaMarcus Aldridge, Enes Kanter. Want to flip it around? Okay, let's make some edits here. Too many Spurs. All right, I understand. Fine. Too many Spurs. Well, let's get Bismack in there because he's an interesting center option. Let's get off of Kyle Anderson. Let's see if we can get Steph in here. Let's get Steph in here, and then we have 5,100 left for a power forward and a small forward, where I'm going to go John Simmons, and then at 4,900, I have, yeah, that's interesting, Marcus Morris. I was actually eyeing him as a front court option. 27 minutes against the Lakers front court is fine, I think. You know, it's not unreasonable to expect him to have a decent return, a fantasy point per minute against this team. So if you want to get Steph in there, that's one way to do it. You know, there's a lot of interesting ways to go, but I think I'm going to attack the Spurs here. I'm going to absolutely be heavy on the Spurs. I think I'm probably going to try to get LaMarcus in a lot of my lineups as well as Russ. And I do actually, now that I look at it, I really do like the combination of Tim Hardaway and Clay. Here, I think that's kind of fun to finish the night with those two guys. Clay specifically, I think this is a good spot for him. New York has struggled with some high scoring guards in the past. Donovan Mitchell has had games against them. Justin Holiday had a nice game against, you know, kind of random guys have had good games. So it's potentially a good spot for him. But of course, we got to wait for news. News will come out. Guys, patreon.com/lineuplogic if you want access to all of our tools, Fantasy 5x5, as well as our player worksheet. We are designing a matchup worksheet as well right now. It's going to be sweet. I'm balls deep in this matchup worksheet, so keep your eyes peeled. Much love. I will see you tomorrow.